Fellow Freedom fans, we're back here with Faith and Freedom Show. I appreciate those things that Patrick said just before he came on the air here. That's disturbing stuff, folks, and it really is factual things going on. We're talking about worldviews. Worldviews matter. That's why some of these issues, it's not just the ranting and raving here on the Liberty Works Radio Network about something that as a political persuasion of the right or the left or liberal, conservative or progressive or degressive or digressive or whatever it might be. The problem is, folks, there's a worldview issue that leads to destruction, and we're going to kind of poke each other in the eyes with regard to this. That's what we're going to do here on Liberty Works Radio Network. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Faith and Freedom Show. I talk about the issues of the day, hopefully on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong, and you can hold me accountable to that, and callers do hold me accountable to that. The other day, I had a caller who challenged me, and he said, how can you justify taking a Navy paycheck while at the same time saying that we shouldn't be tapping into a welfare state in order to get our needs met, or using the power of the sword to take money from one to give to somebody else as to get take care of these welfare state needs? Yesterday I talked about the constitutional foundations of the United States Navy in Article 1, Section 8, and obviously there's a provision there for, in fact, it's a purpose of government, it's a function of government, a constitutional express power of government for a particular purpose that the power of the sword is. The Navy has swords, and now they're kind of in missiles and torpedoes and things like that, but that's what they do. They are the sword, and that is to use the power of the sword for the sake of securing these rights, your rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Your pursuit of happiness, not the government's pursuit of your happiness, but your pursuit of happiness, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is a function of government. That's what it is. Now, the other things, a welfare state, I say, is a function of religion. And it's a duty of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. In the Bible, it says, in the book of James, it says, true religion is this, to care for the widows and orphans in their day of trouble. That is what religion is. It is not the purpose of government to carry out the functions of religion. I will tell you that government is subject to religion, but it's not supposed to carry out the duty or the obligations of religion. Now, we have a duty of religion to form government. Government is supposed to act in government's job because of our duty to love our neighbor as ourself, but for those defined and true purposes of government. Of course, we'd like to be able to govern ourselves. Hey, I will tell you something that is troubling. If you, and we're hearing the term progressive, I'm wondering how many, I'd like somebody in our studio audience or radio audience even to do the math on this and figure out all the people that are the famed progressives, if they give that a progressivism, if they've claimed a particular ism, say progressivism. I wonder how much that they have given to charity as a percentage of their intake. When I looked at, there's some records you can find out. You can look at the current president of the United States. You can look at the past president of the United States. It'd be interesting to find out the presidents of the United States through history, which when they made public their giving, which is not necessarily a biblical behavior, but they make public their giving, that they claimed a benefit on their tax relief because of their public giving. I wonder what the percentage of their giving was to those who have need. Was it a 501c3 charity that has engaged in political activism but qualifies for a charitable contribution deduction? Or was it truly something that is exercising charity, which would, the word charity is derived from the word love. You can read about charity in Romans chapter 13. It's very, very wonderful, wonderful read. So that's an answer to that. There's a different purpose. free aid to, for, I don't know, FAFSA. If you go to college, I don't know anybody who is, actually, I do know a few people who have never filled out the FAFSA form when they sent their kids to college. I've got two kids in college right now, and you know what? They got harassed the first 3 years because they would not fill out a FAFSA form. They were being treated badly by the college because they would not fill out a FAFSA form. I was just talking to somebody today who said, oh, yeah, my married daughter, she's going to qualify for a lot of money because her husband last year only made $13,000. He just started his job at a shipyard, and he's an engineer. He's going to be making huge bucks this year. But she'll qualify for monsters amount of money from the federal government, a welfare scheme, and I don't know where they're getting the money. Where does the money come from? So I don't know. There's a whole bunch of problems that creep in when you go and partner with that program. But if it doesn't bother you, if your conscience isn't bothered, then you can just press on and participate. My problem is, whatever is not of faith is sin. So if I have an inkling of its inappropriate, you know, if it's not right, then I have an obligation before Almighty God to not do that, which is violating my conscience. So you say, okay, that's you, Dave. That's your thing. Well, okay. I wonder if there's anything that violates your conscience that gives you the little creeps, you know, that kind of just feel a little bit awkward about it, but I can justify it in my head. See, our freedom comes in proportion to the faith. I wonder how many people, even in the listening audience, there's a lot of college students in our audience, wonder have the faith to not fill out the FAFSA. I mean, think about it. Even if you claim yourself to be conservative and against the welfare state, and I talked to, and I actually had some biblical worldview students from a very conservative group. They were homeschooled, and they were in this cooperative where they're going through a worldview class. And I asked them about socialism and what they thought about it and things like that, and what drove socialism. And we're going to be talking about some articles that progressives, I'm going to read for some progressive, a lady who is into progressivism. And she's expressly going to say that she's under the Darwinian viewpoint, the Darwinian worldview, and that's driving her progressive theories. And we're going to be talking about that today, reading some articles. And when I asked them about that, they said, well, that's actually because of this. It's you know, they talked about the basis of the socialist state kind of thing and why it is a troubling thing and what the basis was, what the reference. And they in that group were agreed that it was a wrong thing, that is a manifestation of that which is wrong. And I said, well, how many of you have not filled out a FAFSA? Every single one of these kids getting ready for college filled out this free welfare money benefit program. They applied for it. It was free. It's voluntary. Well, actually, if you don't fill it out, they'll harass the living daylights out of you. But that's a whole different issue. So I kind of just started my show today because I do talk about things on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. So I could get into the scary biblical thing, which is kind of troubling to most. Most people, when they give a donation, are very conscious of getting a receipt so they can report it on their taxes. In fact, I guess if you file and say, I gave $260 to this organization and you don't have a receipt for it, well, they're going to discount it, so you want to give credit. Well, constitutionally, if you go back far enough in the laws of England, 1601, there was a positive law enacted in England that basically protected the common law right that the first 10% of what people made was not anybody's but God's. So if somebody did not give it to God, guess what? They were accountable to God. The judgment would come. And there's biblical guidance for that, you know. It says in the Bible, God's one time he says to test me. He says, see if I won't pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. But don't be such a chicken and withhold it because you're really setting yourself up for non-protection. All right, so what happens is, and in the Bible it says that Almighty God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So a lot of times we hold on to our charitable contributions because we think, oh my goodness, I will surely die. Well, what you have in your hand will not save you anyway. That isn't what's going to protect you. There's a major catastrophe that can come at any moment and completely overwhelm what you're your resources can provide. So the biblical perspective is to give. Give 10%. Okay, just risk it. See if I won't show off on your behalf. That's what Almighty God says. But in the common law, it was expected that that was God's. Now, whether or not you give it, that's your business. Because the common law would be subject to the Bible, it says in Matthew chapter 6, it give in secret. So they're presuming the first 10% is God's and that you're going to give in secret. So you're not getting an earthly reward. You get your heavenly reward, okay? But it wasn't taxable. But then what happened? There was a little debate. Wait, how do we know these people? Maybe they're evil men and they're not giving their 10% to the church. It was the state church, you see. It was the state temple tax that it grew into, right? So they said, we've got to police this. And somebody finally said, no, it ought to be not taxable. And instead of saying it's not taxable because God owns it, they said, well, because ultimately those gifts to the church end up helping society, even in secular part of society, because back then the church was in charge of welfare. So there's a little constitutional history to giving. Biblically, though, in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about the object of your worship, which is the second half, and the first half talks about the method of your worship, and it should be in silence. But we see most people don't have the faith to not report what they give, and they justify in their head, well, they'll take more time. Okay, maybe they will. But what does the Bible say? Be a thrill seeker and just go by the book and do it, but most people don't have the faith to do that. Most people don't have the faith to get up and hold somebody accountable in a restaurant. I know this is a lot of times we talk very political. So right now I'm going to give it into the faith thing just because. Sitting in a restaurant and you've got your kids with you and there's somebody next table with too many beers and he starts talking trash and vulgar and talking about things that your six-year-old is completely pure and innocent and doesn't need to hear the reprobate mentality of the person on the table next to you. Of course, your family's going to cringe if you say anything to them. But you know what? That guy's leading himself down into just social destruction, among other things. He's not being kept in check even by his peers, who know what he's saying is embarrassing and he ought to shut up and he's had too much to drink, but they don't have the courage to correct him. What would you do? Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. Well, he might punch me in the nose. Yeah, he might. Do you correct somebody when nobody else will? Are you willing to stand up and start holding both the government accountable, your next-door neighbor accountable? In the good old days, we didn't have the city codes and compliance come and knock on your door. You know what? You had neighbors holding each other accountable, having enough courage and not being cowards to knock on the door and say, hey, neighbor, you're not mowing your lawn is a nuisance. I'm trying to sell my house this week, or I've got family coming over, and this place looks like a dump. Do you think you could mow your lawn? You know what? The city came to my next-door neighbor next door and did that, and he was coming home. It turned out something happened, and the city came and complained to the neighbor. By the way, the city property across the street, the grass was twice as high. I think it was our neighbor behind us that complained about their grass. You know what they found out? We talked to him, and I had my son go out and mow the front lawn. Turned out the guy's wife was in the hospital. There was a catastrophe. You know what was neat? The next door, the person behind us that complained, you know what they did? They got on their riding lawnmower, and they came out and mowed his lawn. See, that's old school, folks, but we're too afraid. We don't have enough faith to confront our neighbor in love. And so, you know, we've got bureaucracies. We've got the city codes and compliance knocking in our door. So that's what we're going to talk about. I'm kind of ranting and raving here. I'm kind of on a rant. I'm going to come back here with this Faith and Freedom Show. I'm going to talk about some of the things that, yes, we've talked about a few days ago, kind of issues we've raised here that are now coming up in the news. I'm going to play some pertinent comments by a man of history, and we're going to talk about these issues. Our website, faithfreedoms.org.